Israel out of Egyptian captivity. Well, they didn't extricate themselves out of that bondage. They didn't deliver themselves. They didn't free themselves. This man, this preacher, this prophet said the Lord did it. And I'm telling you, salvation's of the Lord. He brings his people out of spiritual bondage and captivity. We were in captivity to Satan. He broke the captivity. More than that, we were held hostage. We were bound by God's law that demanded a ransom price in order to release us. And God said, a ransom has been found. Release them from going down to the pit. Christ, the Savior, died in the stead of sinners. God found a ransom. No wonder this man said, the Lord hath wrought it. The Lord hath done it. And he declared the blessedness of the Lord upon those who honor God's people, and the curse of the Lord upon those who seek to do God's people harm. You better beware of mistreating any of the Lord's little ones. There's someone who takes notice. There's someone who sees. There's someone who observes. Be careful what you say to one of the Lord's children. Be careful with the attitude that you deal with them. They're beloved of God. God has redeemed his people. He's bought them with a terrible price, the blood of his son. Be careful. He blesses those who bless his people. And he curses those who curse his people. And then this man, he saw a vision of the Almighty. And he proclaimed the day. He said, a star is coming out of Jacob. He proclaimed the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The birth of Messiah. He said, the scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's always been king. He's always been the Lord by virtue of the fact that Christ is God. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also exalted him. He's the king. He wears the scepter. He's got the scepter in his hand and he wears the crown. He rose up out of Israel. This prophet preached that. And he announced the everlasting greatness of the people of God. And divine judgment upon all those who don't know the Lord. And he set forth the absolute dominion of the Son of God. That is the glorious reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this man, you say? Turn to Numbers chapter 22. For all that I've said, that this man said, and I just sat down, I read Numbers 22, 23, and 24. Listen, read the Word of God. It's all right to consult the commentary, but read the Word of God. The way I go about preparing a message is I try to saturate my mind and my heart with the scriptures. And when I got to studying about this man, Balaam, he was a prophet for hire. That's important to remember. He is a prophet for hire. And I started thinking about him, and I went to the scriptures. Go to the scriptures. If you're going to give a devotional, if you're going to give a message, if you're going to give a testimony, if you're going to witness to your neighbor or somebody you work with or whatever, stick with the Word of God. and absorb it as God enables you to do that. Just saturate your mind with the Scriptures. And I read Numbers 22, 23, and 24. I read them over and over and over again to give myself a grasp of who this man is and what he believed and what he said. But let me tell you something. For all those good things that I listed that he did, he died an enemy against God. You see, there are in this world true prophets and false prophets. And have you ever listened to a man and you knew that, okay, this guy doesn't preach the gospel, but, well, he's on television or radio or whatever. Well, I'll listen a little bit of what he says. And he said, boy, he said some good things. Well, I've drawn that conclusion from listening to men who I know are false prophets. You see, you judge a man's ministry, and you've got to, in a sense, you've got to listen to a man with a critical ear. And I don't mean jumping on every misspoken word, but judge his ministry by the message that he preaches. Does he preach the gospel of Christ Jesus? Does he exalt God in his sovereignty? Does he put man down in the dust in his depravity? Does he preach unconditional election? Does he preach limited atonement, that is the full purchase price by Christ of all of his people, particular redemption? Does he preach irresistible grace? Does he preach the perseverance and the preservation of the saints of God, consistent with the Word of God? These are the things you listen for in every message, but there are some false prophets who don't really believe those things that I just enumerated, but nevertheless, they can say some good things. And that's such a man was Balaam. He said so many good things. But he died an enemy of God. I gave you a listing of things. I said, number one, he offered sacrifices to God. He presented to the Lord offerings of bullocks and rams. Look, I said chapter 22. Go to chapter 23. Let me show you this. I'll give you just three or four verses here. Chapter 23. And I'll tell you the story. King Balak of Moab, he saw the Israelites coming in, and the Israelites had conquered other little nations. And he said, uh-oh, we're going to be next. And so he goes out and he hires him a prophet. Balaam was a prophet for hire. He used witchcraft. He used enchantments. Evidently, he had some unusual gifts. He was from the east. And he got some power from the devil, because all power ultimately comes from God, and God gives some to the devil, and the devil gives it to witches and sorcerers and such, and that was Balaam. But God used this man to set forth many wonderful truths. And then having used him, even though he was a false prophet, having used him, he cast him aside to perish forever. You see, all men and women are the servants of God. All men and women are the servants of God. Either an unwilling servant who doesn't understand what's going on, or a willing servant. Balaam was an unwilling servant. Satan is an unwilling servant. Judas was an unwilling servant. Balaam did what he did for money. He went to the highest bidder. He loved silver. He loved gold. And this king Balak, He seeks out Balaam. By the way, Balaam's name, not of the people. That's what his name, not of the people of God. He's not of the people of God. You need to make a note of that. Not of the people of God. He seeks out Balaam and he says, now listen, I give you money. Here's what I want you to do. And Balaam says, okay, what is it? I'll enter into a deal with you. What is it? Because I want money. And King Balak said, I want you to pronounce a curse upon Israel. He said, okay. He said, let me go ask God about this. And he actually went and he asked God about it. And God said, you can't curse people I've blessed. My decree is irreversible. You see, the people of God have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that is an irreversible decree. In fact, all of the decrees of God are irreversible. And God has decreed everything from the beginning all the way to the end. And everything that happens fulfills God's predestinated will. Isn't that wonderful? And that which Balaam set forth, and that which he did was according to the purpose of God. So he goes and he prays. God said, you can't curse him. You can't curse him. Well, here's what Balaam and Balak did. Now look at chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. You there? Chapter 23, Numbers 1 and 2. And Balaam said to Balak of the Moabites, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. 7, what's that? That's a significant number in the Bible, isn't it? Perfection, completion, like 7 days in a week. This man Balaam, he is not ignorant of the ways of the God of Israel. Because as it says back in the book of Exodus, all the countries around it, I think it's Exodus chapter 15, when Israel is singing the song of redemption, it said all the kingdoms, all the nations were aware of what God did for Israel. And Balaam knew. He knew what God did for Israel. And he knew how he dealt with them. And he knew the necessity of approaching God only by the means of a blood sacrifice. And that's what he did. But his heart wasn't in it. His heart wasn't in it. This is not true worship. So, verse 2, and Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. Now listen. This is a man who was religious. He is not irreligious. He doesn't deny the existence of God. He said, listen, I've learned enough about these people and their God that if you're going to deal with their God, you got to do so through a sacrifice. He had that up here. But he didn't have it here. You do know that, don't you? You do know you can't deal with God apart from a sacrifice. But it's got to go from up here. It's got to go through the mind. There's no question about that. It's got to go through the intellect. But it's got to go deeper. The Lord has got to put it into our innermost being to where we believe and we understand and we comprehend no coming to God except by the blood. Do you understand that? I hope you do. Look again at verse 14. So Balak brought Balaam under the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah and built 7 altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said, Balaam said to Balak, you stand here by the burnt offering and I'll meet the Lord yonder. Once again, he knows if he's going to meet with God, he's got to do so through a burnt offering. And then look a little further in the chapter. Look at last two verses of the chapter, 29. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And if we didn't know better, we'd say, boy, this guy's faithful. He knows the truth. Because he says some good things. Now listen to me. Let me warn you. There are a lot of preachers who say some good things. But they don't say the good thing. They don't say salvation is of the Lord. They don't preach about the satisfaction of God's justice in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they say some good things and they do some good things, but they don't know God. I hear some preachers in this country rising up and saying, we're going to keep on meeting notwithstanding what the governors say. We'll just keep on meeting. And they defy the governors in the midst of this COVID-19. But I find it interesting, they don't defy those who preach a false gospel. They don't denounce free willism. That men have made an idol out of their free will. They don't touch that subject at all. But I'll stand up against the governor. I'll stand up against those in authority. But I dare not touch those who are religious, lest I lose some of my audience and some of my supporters. Be careful. Balaam said a lot of good things. But didn't know God. Didn't know God. I'll tell you something else. He was a prophet who spoke the word of the Lord and did so beside the offering. Look again back in chapter 23. Look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Isn't that something? The Lord put a word in his mouth. And the Lord said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. Will stand right here beside this sacrifice, and I'm going to deliver you the word of God. So he begins in verse 7. He took up his parable, and then he began to speak. And I'll deal with that passage tonight. He began to speak. He knew, listen, he knew that to speak to God, he had to approach God through a sacrifice, and he knew that it was necessary to preach to the people, I need to stand by the same sacrifice. But he didn't love the one that the sacrifice pointed to. He's an amazing man. He really is. And he'd received direct revelations from God. Look at verse 11 here in 23. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies. That's what I paid you for. And behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. This man wanted to curse. He was just itching to curse. And when he opened his mouth to curse, he only blessed. Because the Lord overruled him. Now look at verse 12. And he answered and said, this is what he said to Balak. Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Whew, that's good. That's good. You can't improve upon that. I've got to tell you what God has spoken to me. And actually, every true preacher of the gospel does that. I've got to deliver to you the word of God that he has spoken on these written pages of his holy word. And he's the first man who spoke in parables. And I told you I'll preach on those tonight. It's the very first time the word parable is used in the Bible. Balaam spoke in parables. But go back to the 22nd chapter. He had a face-to-face encounter with the Son of God. The Lord met him. And he and the Lord talked. And I suppose he talked to the Lord in a vision. I don't know. But he spoke to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, the Moabites want you to go with them. When they come to get you, then you go with them. But now, Balaam is a very covetous man. And rather than wait for them, he was up at the crack of dawn because he wants more money. He wants the treasures of Moab. And so in verse 21 of chapter 22, and Balaam rose up in the morning. He saddled his ass and he went with the princes of Moab. Now God said, you can go with them when they come to get you. Oh, but he's a greedy man. He's anxious to get more money. So he beats everybody up and he starts on his way. Verse 22. God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord, who's that? That's Christ Jesus. That's the Son of God in pre-incarnate form. He often appeared like this in the Old Testament. He stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now Balaam was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about false prophets, and he likens them to brute beasts. Brute beasts. But let me tell you something, this beast that Balaam is riding on has more sense and more understanding than the man who's riding him. And the real brute beast in this story is not the ass upon which he rode, but Balaam. He's the real ignorant man. Verse 23 again, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass, it turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Here's this little burra, and she turns aside because she sees the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword. And that little burra, she just kind of veers off into a field, and Balaam begins to beat her. Verse 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall, and she crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he beat her again. And the angel of the Lord, Christ, went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, he knew his master. He knew his creator, or she knew her master. This little burro, this ass, this jackass, this donkey, she knew her creator. She knew her sustainer. She recognized him. Men who have sinned don't recognize him, but this beast recognizes him. And she falls down under Balaam. Oh, and his anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Just beat that poor burro to death nearly. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? I've been good to you, haven't I? I've been a faithful servant. I've been a faithful servant. A willing servant. Was I ever wont to do anything so unto thee? Have I ever done anything like this before?" And he said, "No." And then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head, and he fell flat on his face. He saw the Son of God and fell flat on his face. Verse 32, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me three times." These three times. "Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had killed thee and I'd have saved her." What you don't realize is she saved your life. I wonder how many times in our lives God has put whatever circumstance we were in, and there was something that happened, something he put there that saved our lives. We were in danger, didn't even know it. He put something there that saved our life. "And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord," watch it, "I have sinned." That's a good thing to say. I told you he said some good things. "I have sinned. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me." I didn't know you were against me. I didn't know that. I didn't understand who it was that stood in front of me ready to kill me. I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know anything about your justice. I didn't know anything about wrath. I didn't know anything about judgment. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I'll get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said, "Go with the men. But just tell them what I tell you to tell them." He had a face-to-face encounter with the Son of God and died and went to hell. But you know what? Most of the people who saw the Savior face to face during his earthly sojourn, they saw him, they heard him, they witnessed his miracles, they still died in unbelief, went to hell. He's got to do something for you in your heart. There has to be a revelation of his glory and if his substitutionary sacrifice to the heart. That's what's necessary. See, everybody's going to see Jesus Christ someday at the judgment. Oh, but to see him now as the only Savior, to bow before him now as Lord and King, now that's salvation. You know, three full chapters are devoted to this man. 22, 23, 24. He talked about the certainty of the Word of God. Look at chapter 23, verse 19. And I got to go quickly because it's just, there's so much information here. Look at 23, 19. And this is part of a parable, part of the second parable. I'll be dealing with this tonight. Verse 18 says, he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" And when I hear a preacher say something like that, I say, amen. Amen. If God says he's going to do something, you can bank on it. He's going to do it. Once again in chapter 23, look at back at verse 9. He talked about the blessedness of being numbered among the people of God. He says, "From the top of the rocks, I see him. I see the Lord. I see the Lord and his people." Because you can't separate the Lord and his people. See, there's a unity of Christ and his people. "From the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone." They're the lone people of the earth who belong to God, the redeemed of the Lord. "And shall not be reckoned among the nations." They're not numbered with the heathen nation. They're different people, chosen from all eternity to belong to the Lord. And he says in verse 10, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of them?" And then he says, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." But it wasn't. But that, he said that that's his desire. "I want to die the death of the righteous." Listen, if you want to die the death of the righteous, you've got to be a living in righteousness. You've got to have righteousness in Christ Jesus. You want to die righteous? Live righteous. That don't mean do right during your life. That means bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize his righteousness only avails with God. Amen. You don't have any of your own. "Well, preacher, I'm doing the best I can." How good's a man got to be accepted by God? He's got to be as good as God. He's got to be righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." Poor old soul, it's not going to happen. Because you love money more than you love the Lord. Oh, you've got some belief. You've got some right beliefs here now. But listen, no man can serve two masters. That's what Scripture says. As some he loved more than the Lord, something far more important to him than the things of God is the things of this earth, the treasures of this earth. He's a greedy man. He's a covetous man. And then look at chapter 24, verse 17. He saw a vision of the Almighty. Look at verse 17 of chapter 24. "I shall see him, but not now." I'm going to see him one day. "I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob." There's Christ Jesus. There's Christ Jesus. The star, capital S, the star. The bright and the morning star. He saw, he foretold, he prophesied of the coming of the Son of God. The star coming out of Jacob. He's Christ, the light of the world. He's the Son of righteousness. And he says, "A scepter shall rise out of Israel." A king. A king is coming. That's what he said. A king is coming. He did come. And I tell you what, he's going to smite all of his enemies. He had lots of good things to say. And he never could curse Israel. But I tell you what he did do. And I'll wind this up. He told Balak, he said, I can't curse the people that God's blessed. But I tell you what you do. You invite the Israelites over to into your camp where you're having a feast for your god Baal, specifically Baal Peor as his name, dunghill god of the Moabites. And you get them to eat with you and fellowship with you and break down all distinctions between true religion and false religion. Get them to come over to your side and just say, we can get along here. You believe your way and we'll believe our way. You come to our church today. That's what they said. And they did. Israel did. And they feasted with them and they bowed down to their god. And God was angry with Israel and he killed 24,000 of them. Balaam said, I can't curse them, but I can tell you what God will do to them if you can lead them into idolatry. God will get them. And he did. He did. But know this. Notwithstanding all the purpose of hell against the true people of God, the enemy shall not be victorious. The purpose of God shall continue triumphant. And though he did cause hardship for the nation of Israel, no question about that, he couldn't harm the people of God. And later, look over in chapter 31. Chapter 31. As sometime later, the Lord spoke unto Moses, said, it's time for vengeance. Get out your swords. And God said, I want 1,000 soldiers out of every tribe. And pull your swords out. And go out there and kill the enemy. Well, that's what they started doing. In verse 7, chapter 31 in verse 7. And they warred, the Israelites warred against several people, and among them the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses. They killed all the males. They slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were killed or slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they killed with the sword. He's still with them idolaters. You make your camp with them, you're going to perish with them. That's the truth. You're going to hang around idolaters. You're going to hang around false religion. You're going to hang around free willers. Well, we have differences, but we all love the Lord. Go ahead and hang around with them. But the angel of God's going to come after you one of these days with his sword drawn. Because you didn't take a stand for his word. You were a compromiser. Dangerous, dangerous thing. Boy, it's an interesting fellow, isn't he? Interesting man, Balaam. 3 full chapters devoted to him, and he's mentioned several times throughout the scriptures. I'll give you a few of those this evening, but I didn't preach long enough. You kind of got the story now. May God show us mercy for Christ's sake. Yeah. Just being religious, my friends, isn't good enough. You got to know God. Got to be found in Christ Jesus. There's no righteousness anywhere else except the righteousness of the Son of God. Amen. Oh, may we be found in Him. That's Paul's prayer in the book of Philippians. Let's bow together. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. So very clear. So pertinent for our day, a day of religious compromise, a day of very little religious distinctions. When most people think if you're good and you go to some kind of church and you believe in God, you're all right. Oh, Lord, show us that. That just isn't so. Because we've looked at a man's life this morning who did many religious things, many good things, but he didn't know you. He didn't know the living God. He didn't love Christ. He didn't believe Christ. He loved riches. He loved mammon. He loved the things of this world more than the Lord. And you can't serve two masters. Be merciful to us and bring us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom salvation is found, and in Him alone. For Jesus' sake I pray. Amen.